Hey, this is a podcast. No, wait, it's a comedy podcast. Well, we tried to make it a comedy podcast, and it's not meant to offend anyone. So don't get offended, okay? And wait, there's something else. Oh, yeah. Listener discretion is advised.
Audiomatic presents Our Last Week.
Hi, Paul.
Okay, you go first.
I'll say first.
Yeah, you say first.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, Kunal.
How are you?
I don't know. The thing is, this is the first time in all our years where we've both spoken at the same time.
Yeah, well, not in a sentence, but at the top of the podcast, yeah.
There was, I don't know if you've ever seen a film called Khoon Paseena.
No, I haven't, no.
So, in the old days, they used to make films where there would be a plot climax where two, lost brothers or friends.
Right.
They'd have a phrase
yeah.
between them. And then they'd, in some climactic, where they're about to hit each other, they'd both say the phrase.
Yeah.
And that way they'd know that they were childhood friends.
Right.
And say that was the critical. But I've always wondered, you know, like, that's not a clue, you know? Like, what if someone else knew the phrase?
That's what I've also wondered.
Yeah. So in Khoon Paseena, the phrase was Kasam Aslam Ka.
Kasam Aslam ka.
Yeah, because Aslam was a third friend who died.
Oh.
So, only Amitabh and Vinod Khanna threaten each other in that final scene of the film, saying, I'm going to beat the shit out of you. Kasam Aslam ka. And they both say it at the same time. And that's where they both realize, oh, we are the back of three and Aslam is our third friend. And suddenly they hug and everything's made up. But there's never any, they don't go into the detail of how they know the phrase. And whether it's some other Aslam, there's never any double checking or historical verification. It's it leads to hugging and, you know, it just sort of...
It just kind of resolves.
Yeah. And I always feel people speaking at the same time. You know, there's Javed Akhtar's screenwriting magic in the old days was supposed to signify, you know, some revelation.
Right.
So as
that we're both going to realize the same thing at the same time.
Yeah. It was like a big thing. Hi, Kunal.
Hi, Paul.
So, given this, we're talking about friendship.
Yes.
There's a new film by the playwright Martin McDonagh. And it's about two guys in Ireland. And they both sit around a pub and drink and talk nonsense. For years, they've done it. Till one friend says to the other, I don't want to speak to you anymore. And the other guy says, why? And he says, no reason. Is you're an idiot. And I've only got this much time remaining. And I want to use it to play a musical instrument. I don't want to sit around talking to idiots. And the other guy can't understand why this guy would do this. Because they've been friends forever. Why would you want... The guy said, no reason. I'm just done with this friendship. And do you think that that sort of a breakup is much harder in one's 40s or 50s when you're one friend? Because you probably by then have only one friend or two, three people who drink at a pub. And suddenly if you lose those friends, you know, what do you have? Whereas the other guy is sort of like, I've wasted my life with this friendship. I could have had better friends. And I've got this little time and I want to use it intellectually. And not spend it drinking with these idiots.
I guess there are two ways to look at it. Some people have those friendships from their young days to be reminded of what it was when they were young.
Yeah.
And they actually enjoy reliving that dynamic.
Yeah.
You know, they actually enjoy reliving those moments of how they used to be. Those names. Hey, Pantia. All of that. You're reliving those moments because you feel, oh, I'm reconnecting with that aspect.
But then it comes down to the girls you loved and, you know, those
all of that and like, you know, like how, but no, but what the dynamic in a group was.
Where is Dohal nowadays?
Where is that Laudu?
But
sometimes... Sometimes you don't want to relive that dynamic.
It was shit in the first place.
Sometimes that dynamic was not something you want to revisit.
Yeah.
It's not
because very quickly those old power structures will form. You know, the bullies will be the bullies.
The same power structures will try to form. Yeah. You know, like, oh, this guy was like this, this guy's like this, this guy's. But now
you take the small bed, now you take the small bedroom.
Arey, you fuck off, you bastard. Like, and all that shit will start.
Yeah.
And But sometimes you are in a place in life where you don't want to relive that dynamic anymore. You don't want to sort of live that. Yeah, because it almost feels like I haven't changed at all then.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to be that person.
Yeah.
So I guess I can buy both. I mean, I can understand both. And, you know, people who want to relive that time of their past, or they want to move. But you know, sometimes it happens with people who are in touch.
Mm.
And their relationship has evolved and it's changed. And then suddenly something were to happen and one person just loses interest, or one person just feels that, you know, I just don't want this guy.
Yeah.
Don't want to talk to him anymore.
I also like the idea that to discover late in life that you've spent many years with an idiot.
Hmm.
You know, to realize that I could have had intellectually better friends.
Hmm.
But instead, I had this idiot.
Hmm.
And it was an easy friendship.
Hmm.
And now I have less time. Let me see if I can do something better with my life.
Hmm.
There's something sad and brilliant about that. You know, like we all have those friends where either we are the idiot in that relationship.
Hmm.
Or we have an easy friend because they're not too bright.
Hmm.
They'll always sort of be a friend. All of us have that one weaker friend, you know, like that we're always, because this person's not going anywhere, you know, like imagine you got to a point where most people would be like, chal, this friendship is not hurting me or costing me anything.
Hmm.
You know, at least he's my friend. Very few people would step up to the plate and say, this guy's an idiot. I'm done.
Friends, as do, I mean, your relationship with the person you love or who loves you or whatever it is. But friends also change you quite a bit, no? Like they change, they shape you, they mold you.
Yeah.
I guess at some stage, some people just feel that, listen, I don't want to be affected by this person
anymore.
This
guy doesn't know anything. I'm becoming an idiot.
Yeah. Or he knows stuff, but like, I just don't want to, I just don't want this interaction anymore. Like, I just don't want.
I mean, in the film, the guy says, you know, like, I want to talk to you about Mozart. And yesterday you spent 4.5 telling me about things you found in your donkey's shit.
Hmm.
I don't want to talk about that.
Hmm.
You know, so you realize that you're just on different spectrums.
Correct.
You know, so
correct.
That's what I mean is, a lot of times, my question to you is, do you think friendship is just because the person is there and it's convenient?
Well, yeah, but I guess you have to have some commonality, some common interests. Otherwise, what are you going to talk about? Like some level playing field.
Either but like in India, a lot of that is school and college, you know, or a former workplace.
Right, right.
Yeah, like it's not like, oh, I'm friends with this person because both of us are part of some secret Sherlock Holmes detective society. You know, it's always from somewhere where you're carrying a friend.
He's from work, he's from college, he's from school, he's from...
So that basically all you're talking about, which is why you see so many friends when they go for some holiday, they play Antakshari.
Hmm.
Because there's, you realize if you really got into it, there's not much there.
Yeah.
So most people don't get into it in a big way.
Yeah.
You know, they all like, we'll have a holiday with the families. You know,
right.
So the more people you fill, the more logistics are, there's no real conversation to be had. But if you really got into it, you're like, shit, I got nothing.
What else do we, like, what can we really talk about?
Or because friendship
is
a hard one because it comes with no other, it's not relative, it's not wife, it's not kids.
Hmm.
It comes with no other burden.
It doesn't have the responsibility of existing and you making it work.
Yeah.
Like, it's just there.
It's there. And it's work, but it's there. But I think most of us carry friends from a specific thing. Like say, you would have worked with someone on a film. But if you meet them for a drink today, all your commonalities would be...
That film.
And subsequently, what are you working on, etc. And then you have someone you know from your tennis or from your diving or from school or college. But if you really sit to the person saying, who I am in 2022... You, my friend, what do you and I have right now?
Yeah.
And it'll be nothing. It'll often be nothing.
Yeah. If you take out that one thing.
If you take out that whatever that brought, you know, that in 2015 you met him while doing Delhi Belly in Goa or whatever. And first 15 minutes are like, remember this happened and that happened. And then, oh my God, that other thing. And where's he now? And where's it? Then?
Then what?
Then it'll be like this only. It's like, listen, if you keep calling me in this movie, he says, you keep calling me, and if you keep bothering me, I'm going to start cutting off my own fingers. So don't ever, ever call me again. Friendship is tricky.
It's tricky. It's tricky.
It's very difficult. Kunal.
Yes.
I have a conundrum about treating waiters. Now, you, this is coming from our producer mentioned something about James Corden, the host of a TV show. He's apparently a terrible person. He treats waiters very badly. And he's very mean to them, etc. Now, I know that you are not mean to waiters.
Well, I'm not mean to anyone.
And I try not to be mean to it. I find people who are mean to waiters to be the lowest. People who are rude to staff in a restaurant, no matter what level of restaurant or any sort of staff anywhere, I find them to be the worst kind of human being. Now, my question to you is, say, what if it's the other way around? What if a waiter is mean to you for no reason? So I was out with a friend and this one waiter was being really snarky for no reason. Because he found me weak, I think, as a person and easy to pick on. And so I said, oh, can we get this chicken roast thing? And he's like, maybe. I'll see. And he was just he was fine, but he was being a bit of a dick to me. And the thing is that then I have no recourse. Because I have chosen not to be mean, you know. So what do you do if a waiter is mean to you? Bartenders are often mean to me. Because it's too pressured, you know, in a bar and everything is hurried, you know. So like some, he'd be like, what do you want? The bartender will come up quickly. And you'd say, but very quickly you'll have to say one gin. If you take a little time and the bartender will look at you and be like, come on, come on, come on. You know, like,
yeah.
I get very nervous.
I get tongue-tied sometimes.
Yeah. And nowadays, bartenders look like movie stars.
Yeah.
You know, so...
And they look like they're always busy.
Very busy.
Even if there's no one behind.
That's why they throw bottles up in the air for no reason.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's spit fire. It's all part of that speed.
They're asking you a question in the middle of a bottle flying in the air.
Yeah. So, before it comes down, you have to tell me,
what do you want? Yeah. The bottle is landing, say fast.
Whiskey. You just say anything, because you're nervous. So, if wait staff is hard on you, it's difficult.
It is tough. I mean, you should suck it up. I generally like to put myself in people's shoes whenever they're in a weak moment, they're being rude or nasty. I like to, like, you know, try to think, how has their day been? How has this thing been? Yeah, like, maybe I'll forgive this one. One more, two more. Then after that, then even I get curt. I don't get nasty.
Yeah.
I don't get mean. But I get firm and curt.
Yeah.
I get curt. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I've been curt recently to someone who was ignoring my son. Because he's just a kid and he was just ignoring him and, like, not... like
taking
responding
order,
or not, like whatever, he was not getting it right or whatever he was. So I was curt with the person. Yeah. I wasn't nasty.
This is an adult. Please treat him like an adult.
Yeah. No, I was just like, excuse me. Unhone kaha tha na, to kya hua? So I was just a little bit, but I was, I was a little bit, and it was very rare for me. I don't generally get like that, but, but I like to, I mean, generally before doing that, and if someone's being rude to you at a table or rude to this thing, then I guess generally you give a little leeway and then after that you start cutting the tip.
Yeah. There's some, at some point I think if any rudeness comes anyone's way, then at some point there's an evil streak in all of us that sort of comes out.
Correct.
You know? Like, we could all be James Corden, but it's lying dormant.
Yeah.
Kunal, I have a conundrum for you, which this affected me recently, just now. I was staying at an Airbnb, okay? And at the Airbnb, the guy whose apartment I was staying in has written a book, a novel. It's about traveling and cricket. There's nothing wrong with the book. It's quite good. Very sweet guy. Now, I stayed in his Airbnb flat for 4 nights. Now, the apartment was a little dirty, but we became friends. He's a very sweet guy. He wants me to read this book and make it into a film or he thinks that it'll make a very good film. Now, I want to actually three different things, three different conundrums. One, the apartment is a little dirty, but it's a lovely apartment.
Hmm.
I want to stay there again. I want to give it an honest Airbnb review. And I don't want to make his book, which is quite bad, into a film.
Hmm.
So how do I lie to him and streaming along? Because I do want to stay in his apartment for a number of times when I go back to the UK.
Hmm.
So I'm looking at a long relationship.
Hmm.
He'll expect me to do something with the book. And the cleanliness thing, I think I can just lie and write a review saying it was clean, but it was quite dirty.
Hmm.
So how do I reconcile all these two, three different pieces?
I think that what you got to do in such a situation is... is, you know, how men promise marriage.
And like, string women along for a long time.
Like, you know, of course.
Are we married yet?
Karna
I love you.
I love you. Hum toh shaadi karenge. Definitely, I'm going to leave my wife. So I'm saying that maybe one way to go and to get a better rate also out of him is to start saying that, this has a lot of potential.
This is the
Really feeling that this can be something. I'm going to start talking to people. I just need a couple of months to, you know, there's one project that's there. On my next trip, you know, by the end of it, I might, I'll bring this up with my
And constantly stay in his house.
Constantly stay there. But it's like that, you know, that promise
and
of...
And now don't write the honest review.
No, forget the review. What is the review? That's not a
commitment. Because I tell you, there's a further slyness. If I write the bad review anonymously, then maybe it'll reduce the price of the Airbnb and I string him along.
Yeah.
So am I winning both sides?
Yeah, I think you can. You can then...
podcast will be the death of me. All my evil plans.
So then you write the review saying that, you know, it was dirty.
Very dirty. Very so dirty. No one else will sign up.
Yeah, no one will sign up. Then you have full control.
Then I almost own him.
Yeah, and then you say that, you know, that... I think that we should do this in a partnership.
Yeah.
You start reducing the...
Fee. You don't have to pay me.
You don't have to pay me.
Just let me stay,
let me stay here for a little while.
For development work.
And I'll do the development.
Yeah. So basically, I'm trying to get a free place.
Yeah.
In the UK.
Basically, he's let you... He's given you an opening.
Yeah. And he's also like, shit, I don't know why no one else is signing up for Airbnb.
I'm going to write a 3-page note on this thing.
Yeah.
It's going to be a light treatment.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then you start, I mean, you send him one or two things and saying that let's do this together.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then
by the way, is your flat free?
Yeah, flat free. I can come and work there.
Yeah, I think I should work
I'll
there.
I'll come there, work there, and I'll do a little, you know, like a 4-5 page sort of treatment, and I'll start pitching it on my next trip.
Yeah, this needs to go to a big producer.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'll need to stay there for 2 months. Huh?
Yeah, just 2 months. But I'll work from there.
Is it busy on Airbnb? Oh, then it's fallen.
And who are these people who are giving these bad reviews?
Why are they saying
it's
dirty?
Like, this is dirty. I stayed there.
Yeah, it's lovely.
I was happy.
So jack the person. Yeah. I don't know if this is worse than being terrible to waiters, I think. This is, you're just slowly taking over someone's apartment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Normally, a podcast has commercials.
Yes.
So we would now like to cut to a commercial break.
Yes.
And we'll see you after the break.
See you after the break.
So this is the break.
This is the break. This is the commercial break.
This is the commercial break.
Can you hear any commercials right now?
This is an ad for, you know, a glass of water. Are you tired of soft drinks? Are you tired of soup? Let us propose an alternative. Have a glass of water.
What if, you know, like, I think we should do ads for Our Last Week in the break of Our Last Week.
Yeah.
Because that's the worst kind of ad.
Yeah.
Like, you know, once I...
two guys talking nonsense.
Nonsense. But the thing is that sometimes I receive ads
for
a product I've already bought.
Yeah.
So the algorithm is sending me ads for something that I just bought.
Yeah.
But if I've bought it, then I don't need it again, right?
The belt that he bought, that guy.
He needs
Send
another
belt.
But I've bought it now.
Yeah.
And clearly, if we put an ad for Our Last Week in the middle of Our Last Week, yeah, that person is already listening to Our Last
Yeah, yeah,
Week.
Yeah, yeah. Why do Are you listening to Our Last Week?
Yeah.
Let me double your joy.
Listen to Our Last Week. Arre, but I'm listen listening. To your, now you're going to advertise your and show. And the week before. Of show.
Listen to your last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's too much.
So this is the break and now it's over.
Bye.
Bye. Kunal.
Yes.
I want to give you examples of a couple of instances of I guess you can't even call it modern art, postmodern art.
Mm.
It started with our chat about Shilpa Gupta, who's a very famous artist.
Mm-hmm.
And she did a thing, I think it was called Dead Poets Society, was the name of the exhibition, where she put a bunch of books of poetry on spears.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that, yeah.
At, in very, I mean, Kochi.
It was quite an experience to be in that room.
Yeah, so large room, spears. On top of the spear, there were books, open books.
Some letters, books. I think it was sheets of paper with the poetry and then the spear was going through the
through the books, yeah. So it was about persecution of...
Correct.
Now, my conundrum is that does art have to be anything? Like, for example... the Danish artist, a Danish artist at a gallery last year in Denmark, did an exhibit called Take the Money and Run.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know this. It was 80,000 euros he was paid to create two installations and the theme was art and money.
Hmm.
That was the theme he was given and he sent them two empty canvases.
Hmm.
He took the 80,000 euros and ran.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, what better statement can be there about art and money than taking the money and not running. Giving you the art?
Yeah.
And I'm telling you that I've taken the money and I'm running. You know, so perhaps now, does art have to lead to a product or is the concept in itself strong enough?
I think it's a combination of things, right? Yeah. Like, and ultimately, it's a story.
Yeah.
Art is also the story of that art.
Yeah. The story is now the main thing.
So now I think that the main thing in this is that it's a story now.
Yeah.
Like say, sticking a banana on a wall.
Yeah.
Is a story there.
Yeah.
That there was this guy, he stuck a banana. So you're not actually paying for, the banana and the duct tape on a wall.
Yeah.
What you're paying for... is the story.
And that was a big thing in my, you know, last 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
The guy stuck a banana.
Banana on the wall and then it became a big thing and it's like, oh, and it sold for a lot of money and whatever. But I'm saying that what's selling there is the fact that people start talking about it.
Yeah.
So so then are we just saying that art is something that people just talk about?
Yeah.
You know, then are we just saying that, oh, this story now of the guy running away with the money is worth a lot of money?
Yeah.
It's the story of the guy running away with money.
Yeah.
Now I'm
telling
you. So
what we are buying is this concept that he's come up with.
Yeah. So now when anyone buys those two blank canvases, it automatically comes attached with this story.
Yes.
That these are those two blank canvases that gave rise to that story.
Yeah.
So what you're ultimately buying is the story of that work of art.
Yeah.
So the art itself, and that is the concept of an NFT also. Like, I guess in a sense, it's the story of that piece.
It doesn't have to be anything.
It doesn't have to be anything. It just has to be, like, as long as it becomes a story.
And technically, if I commission someone to do a work on art and money, and it's about art and money, there is no bigger statement than stealing the money.
Absolutely. So what's actually happening is that the piece itself is not of value.
No.
It's the story
the
attached.
The conversation around
the
it.
The conversation that, oh, it's worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
And, oh, it's gone for so much money. So now I'm actually buying the story of that piece.
Yeah.
So again, I'm buying a story.
Yeah.
The other thing is that now art also, you know, tries to shine light on certain social causes or this thing or like, you know, like a social issue. But unless it's got a story around it, you know, then it's going to live on. I
mean, for example, what is better? The Mona Lisa, a finished painting by Leonardo da Vinci, or an empty canvas where there's a story that an Italian man called Leonardo da Vinci wanted to paint the Mona Lisa, but she didn't show up that day. So instead you get a half-painted canvas, you know, or a missing frame. Nowadays, it's almost better not to paint the Mona Lisa.
Don't do it.
Do not
don't
do
it.
It.
Do the
story.
Story.
So the two, I just want to finish by talking about two pieces of work and what do you think of them.
Mm.
One is in 2004, the artist Mark Wallinger,
yeah,
who ended up winning the Turner Prize, sent in a video, and the video was about an art opening of his in Berlin, where the audience came, being promised there's a new premiere of work by Mark Wallinger.
Yeah.
And they're invited to a cocktail party. And there was nothing on the walls.
Mm.
It was just a cocktail party. And the work was Mark Wallinger himself roaming around the party dressed as a giant bear.
Mm. Mm.
And this started a lot of conversations about, you know, obviously anyone can have an exhibition with art on the walls. But is the next step of it where the exhibition itself is the work of art because the artist is roaming around as a bear talking to people?
Mm.
So, I mean, would that qualify in your books as art or not art?
See, I don't know, honestly, what qualifies in my book as art. I don't know. I guess things that I like, no matter whether, I mean, it's a poem or a play or a film or a painting or a sculpture or, you know, or a carving on a temple. If I like it, for me, it's art.
Yeah.
Like, I guess I don't really... If something resonates with me,
yeah,
and I see some skill behind it, and I see that, oh, this is a wonderful expression, or there's beautiful aesthetics behind it, then for me that's
but
art.
This is definitely starting a conversation.
But you know, that's what I'm saying, that it's easy. I think it's easier to start conversations
than, for example, paint the Sistine Chapel.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like,
I mean, or do Ajanta Ellora.
Yeah. Like, say tomorrow, okay, a guy was commissioned to paint the ceiling of something.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm going to do it only in human feces.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm just going to take my own shit.
Yeah.
And I'm going to hurl it from here and I'm going to see whatever sticks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds like my comedy career.
Yeah. And I'm just going to throw it up there. And then I'm going to do some sort of performance thing and I'm going to move around.
Definitely my comedy career. Yeah.
And I'm saying that, see, there's no way it's not going to start a conversation.
100%.
Like, how can it not?
Yeah.
I'm saying that if he just says that, you know, then I'm just going to throw some pig's blood on the walls. And I'm going to be, and then there's just going to be tomato soup or ketchup everywhere.
I could see the tour guide saying, you know, see, this guy, he mostly did portraits in oil and canvas.
Mm-hmm.
But when he was given this ceiling, he decided to do it with shit and pig's blood.
Yeah.
But he's actually one of the greatest portrait painters of our time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think of this? It was definitely... I mean, it's again... Anyone can now, in the 21st century, paint a ceiling.
Yeah.
But how many can paint it with shit and pig's blood?
And
not paint it.
And the thing is that it will definitely start a conversation.
Yeah.
And you know, we might even mention it on this podcast. Like, we might even... Yeah. Like, you know, we might talk about it. We might say, oh, this is... Whatever. People will give it the time of day.
Yeah.
I mean, it might not be finally considered art or whatever, but it will start a conversation. So is it just a conversation?
It's very hard to stand out. Like, for example, the only way this podcast will stand out from millions of others, if, say, one of us strangled the other person live.
Live. There would be a live stream.
A live stream where... It's like, you heard about our last week. It was a
normal... He just cut off his finger. He punched him and cut his finger.
This one podcaster cut the other guy's finger off. The other guy bled to death.
Yeah. And then, he locked the room from the inside also.
Yeah.
He was shouting for 3 hours. It'll be huge. The podcast will be massive.
This will then be the podcast that everyone talks about.
Yeah.
And one last piece of work I want to know. I saw it this time in London where at... one of the modern galleries, a performance artist decided he had a piece of work called Open.
Hmm.
And Open was about artists who don't want to hide any aspect of their lives.
Hmm.
So when you walked into the gallery and this artist was sitting on a toilet throughout the week of the exhibition in the position of taking a shit. And he just sat there reading a newspaper or I think checking his iPhone, and he remained there throughout as long as the gallery was open. And the work was called Open, meaning what are we ashamed of? What do we need to hide any aspect of our life? So come watch me take a shit. So I want your view on this as a piece of work. And there was a rope around the guy so you don't hassle him. But you know, you just like you walk past, you know, Van Gogh sunflowers, the next thing you see is a guy roped off taking a shit.
See, and that, and what is important in this is context.
Yeah, because yeah. There the gallery has toilets where you can take a shit.
And also there are people taking a shit,
yeah,
not
yeah.
in galleries, but in the open. Yeah. So I'm saying basically art great is a point. Combination
a
of
great
the thing.
Point.
Like when you contextualize things,
yeah.
you know, and when you
like
say,
this is not an issue, for example, in rural India.
Yeah, I mean, it's not an issue at Bandra. I mean,
yeah.
like at Bandra,
yeah.
you can take a train and
yeah.
people are shitting in the open, right?
Yeah.
Now, if I take that person
yeah.
and I highlight it,
yeah.
you know, like say it's still Bandra
yeah.
and you have this local train going past.
Yeah.
But suddenly, while the train is going, there's this beautiful white box.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's just this one man sitting over there taking a dump.
Yeah.
And he's got this beautiful, it's night. And
yeah.
there's just these spotlights on this white box with this guy taking a night dump over there.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you've contextualized it.
Yeah.
Now it can be art.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like you've got this cityscape behind him.
Yeah.
You've given him this beautiful white cube.
Yeah.
You've got these beautiful lights on him. And now it's art.
It
you
is.
Know what I'm saying?
It
but,
is.
But the night before when he was just taking the dump normally.
Yeah.
Then it was just a nuisance.
There's a train passing and there's
and
a guy defecating
in the open.
And a constable will hit
him. And then you take
him.
That
yeah.
guy out and you place him at Jahangir Art Gallery.
Yeah.
Or you place him at the NGMA. Yeah. Or you place him
give
at
him
the
MoMA. Right lighting.
Wherever. You know,
yeah.
and you give him the right kind of... So now when you... That way if I isolate anything...
Yeah.
You know? Like say it's a brush with hair in it. And it's about two or three people's hair in it.
Yeah.
Okay, now it's lying on my dressing table.
Yeah.
And it's got some long hair, some blonde hair, and a little red hair.
Right.
But now if I took that brush and I put it on a white piece in a gallery, and I said, threesome. Okay. And I just put it over there. And people are like, fuck, this is genius, man.
Yeah.
There are three people in a relationship using
yeah.
the same brush.
Yeah.
Look at his thought. Look
yeah.
at the idea.
Saying, well, no, that it way, is brilliant.
I know.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is...
That's at least $4-5 million.
That's
dollars.
A million,
yeah. Yeah.
easily. But what I'm saying is that... So then is it just an idea?
Yeah.
Is it just contextualizing things for people?
Yeah.
And saying that, listen, if you isolate this item and I draw your attention to it, but then am I just drawing people's attention as an artist?
Correct.
I don't know then what art is. And as I said, that I can only then respond to what I resonate with. And,
yeah.
and then that for me, it qualifies as art.
Yeah.
Otherwise, now a guy taking a dump and all that stuff and watching his whole life.
Yeah. No, and he's saying that, just come walk by me. You know, there's a security guard, whatever. So you can't come and disturb me.
And no one can steal the artwork.
You can't steal. Because then you have to take me and the toilet.
And the somewhere. Toilet. Because then
yeah.
you have to take the whole installation.
Yeah. And if you purchase this, say, as this installation piece, and you say put it in your house because you're a collector, then it's conceivable that that this guy would have to contractually show up every day.
And take a dump
and
in the open.
And sit on that pot. From as long as you want him to, because you've bought him.
Yeah. And then if you have guests coming over and he hasn't come, then you'll be calling him and saying, "Arey, listen, you were supposed to be at 8:30. I hope you can come and dump for us tonight."
Yeah. And he has to sit there the whole time on his phone, surrounded by that rope.
Have you gone to the house? They have
yeah.
open, huh? That
yeah.
Open is that,
that
piece.
Exhibition.
Yeah,
what is
yeah.
That,
that whole
that
piece.
Guy comes
they
and
bought
takes
it.
Shit.
He takes his shit
yeah.
over there.
I know that guy. He's an actor.
Yeah.
His name is Kunal Rao Kapoor. I've seen him around. I've seen him in films. But now he does this. This has been Our Last Week.
This has.
You are...
Kunal Rao Kapoor.
The artist Kunal Rao Kapoor. The artist Kunal Rao Kapoor.
The artist formerly known as...
Kunal Rao Kapoor, yeah. And I'm Anubha Pal.
Yes, you
are. Searching for the meaning of art.
Yeah.
And ask yourself, what is art and who are you?
Bye.
Bye.
You were listening to Our Last Week, produced by Rajesh Tahil and Avdhoot Khanolkar. Hosted by Anubha Pal and Kunal Rao Kapoor. Assistant producers Akansha Kadam and Rahul Vaswani.
It's actually actually there at Serpentine. There's a guy taking a shit.
He's really there.
It's not open, yeah.
Fuck me, man.
He's there from morning till night.
Such a long shit.
Yeah, as in, no, he has to remain on the toilet.
That's crazy, no?
But because, like, when the... You don't know when the other person is coming, no?
We finish this one. Oh. So we can... What is the time? It's one.